Let's pray. Father, thank you for bringing us here tonight. We pray that you would give us faith and that you would open our eyes, that we would see wonderful things in your word, that you would teach us about who you are, about your love to us and sending your son to us to die for our sins. I pray that you would stoop down to us tonight in our weakness, in our fear, in our temptation. I pray that you would help us, Father, that you would draw us to you, and that you would give us eyes to see who you are. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, go ahead and turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, your Bibles or iPads or iPhones or... I still can't get used to the transition that we're undergoing, where all of you are starting to have glowing faces while I'm preaching to you. You all look blue, kind of like Smurfs, you know? All right. Yeah, whatever. Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Tonight, I want to spend some time just thinking about the family that Jesus was born into. Okay? I want to think about who is Mary and who is Joseph, and what must it have been like to be Mary and Joseph. Now, what do you know about Mary? What can you tell me about her? She was likely very young. How old do you know? Probably 14. 14 is probably a good guess. Nobody knows. Nobody really knows. But 14 is probably a good guess. 12 to 15. Okay, what else can you tell me about Mary? She was a virgin. That's good. What else can you tell me? She's from the line of David, so she was descended of King David, okay? What else? She's poor. She was poor. How do you know she was poor? That's right. There was a special provision for those who were poor, the kind of sacrifice they could bring if they couldn't afford the proper offering. And we see them, I think it's sparrows, actually. Is that right? It's turtle doves, that's right. It is. It's two turtle doves. You guys are terrible. Okay, poor. What else? She was godly. She was godly. How do we know she was godly? Okay, so one was her response to... Okay, so what was that response like?
It was very humble, just magnifying God.
And why is that particularly striking? So Alex said she was humble. She magnified God when she was told that she was bearing the Christ. And
it could have been an opportunity for pride for her that she was chosen.
Could it have been, I'm going to I'm going to fight with Alex. It could have been an opportunity of pride for her. Could it have been an opportunity of pride for her? Well, yeah, an angel visited her and said, but. It could have been an opportunity for please not me. Okay, but listen. Pride, do you think it was, I bet all of Israel looked at Mary and thought, my goodness, what a godly woman. Yeah. You are so spiritual and so godly. Don't you think that all of Israel, I mean, she told them that an angel appeared to her and said that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. I don't get it. Why are you laughing? Okay. She was still grateful, even though it was humiliating. Tell me about the humiliation of Mary. She would have been called a slut, says Mary. If they followed the law, they would have stoned her. She was pregnant out of wedlock. She had a rather ridiculous story. Who buys that? This 14-year-old girl who's pregnant. An angel of the Lord appeared to me. I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, okay, well. No. Oh yeah, you're Sarah herself. I see that. Yeah. Well, she's already betrothed to Joseph.
Yeah, but.
But. Okay, but we know that didn't happen. God provided for her. But yeah, so she would have been afraid, which is why one of the first things that the angel says to Mary is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Did Mary have cause to be afraid?
Yeah.
So why would Mary have been afraid?
Because she just came from God's.
So one, a holy angel was in her presence, which is always terrifying in Scripture. Wherever you see an angel appear in Scripture in front of somebody, the response isn't to go, oh, so cute, chubby baby, right? The response is to fall down in fear and trembling and often to worship the angel, right? So we see throughout Scripture angels having to tell people, no, don't worship me, worship God. Okay. Why else did she have cause to fear? Joseph was planning to divorce her because of this. Because he was a good man, a just man. So he's going to do it quietly. And not bring her any further shame because of what she had supposedly done. No fault in Joseph for thinking, if you're pregnant, you must have. Right? Nobody can fault Joseph for thinking that. What else about Mary? Though, what else? Listen. Was the shame of being pregnant out of wedlock something that Mary lived with for 9 months? And then, whew, good thing that's over with. No, it's not. What was God demanding of Mary? And God didn't even ask Mary, right? Behold, you're pregnant. Let me be the first to tell you. You found favor with the Lord. You're pregnant. You're going to live your entire life from the age of 14 or whatever it was on with the entire world, everybody you know, thinking that, in Mary's words, that you're a slut. Congratulations, you've won the prize. Shame is what attended Mary's life, her whole life. down to she was already poor to begin with. She was going to be poor because she was not marrying a wealthy man. She was marrying a carpenter. Okay, she's from Nazareth in Galilee, which is the backwater hick town. So she's already a trailer park kid. Okay? She's already a trailer park kid from the sticks. She's going to live her whole life in shame. And God's calling her to embrace this life with faith. That's Mary's whole life. Mary's whole life. And she has to raise Jesus and then Jesus' brothers and sisters, her own natural children, by her husband Joseph. Okay, that's Mary, and then there's Joseph. Now, what's Joseph's side of this? You said middle class? At best. Yeah. Middle class, hard worker, maybe lower class, but hard worker. He at least had a trade, so he was a skilled laborer of some kind, right? So he's not. But still from the sticks. What else? No way of telling. No way of telling. Joseph could have been really old, could have been one of the reasons why he died early, as we perceive it. That's right. It was still shameful for Joseph to take Mary. Why? In the eyes of other people, because they might have thought it was him. They might have thought it was him. They might have thought it was somebody else. So it's one of two options. It's either, you stupid idiot, you believe her? Like, or you guys really think you're going to cook up this story together to cover what you did? That's a good argument. The fact that he went ahead and married her may have caused people to think that he was the one responsible for Mary's pregnancy ultimately. But why would they cook up the story at that point? Like, okay, so Joseph had to live his whole life from that point on with everybody thinking that either he was a liar or an idiot. Okay? In Nazareth, raising Jesus. Of course, they didn't go back to Nazareth right away. They had to go on the run because Herod was trying to kill Jesus. So God sends them down to Egypt. So not only is their life one of shame, but it's also one kind of on the run, low-key, hiding, going away, coming back. This is the life that God calls his faithful servants to. Is there anyone more blessed among women than Mary? No. She bore the Christ, the Son of God. She was chosen to be the one, the woman at the fullness of time. There is no woman more highly regarded in all of Scripture than Mary. And so what was God's life for Mary? It was a life of complete and utter shame and humiliation. You couldn't be Mary and not be incredibly humble. It takes an immense amount of humility to embrace this kind of life with faith. Can you imagine living your entire life with everybody thinking that you were a whore because you did, in fact, get pregnant out of wedlock? And you had the most implausible story in the world that was actually true. And you had all your friends and your family telling you, oh, just give up the stupid story. We all know. Like, just quit. No, really. Oh, shut up. Would you stop it? No, but really. You know, at some point, like, yeah, you have a question or a thought? Elizabeth did, and we see that in Luke chapter 1, I think. Very, very sweet kindness of God to give Mary Elizabeth and Zechariah and John. Right? Very, very sweet. Elizabeth knew. Elizabeth got pregnant supernaturally too, though not by the Holy Spirit, by Zechariah in her old age. Very, very sweet. God calls, though, his servants to a life of humiliation and shame, and yet does give sweet consolation. Elizabeth knew. Elizabeth was with her, if nobody else was. Okay, so that's Mary. That's Joseph. This is the life of the family that Jesus is born into. But then, what about Jesus? What about Jesus? What kind of family was Jesus born into? What kind of life did Jesus live? Huh?
He was
a normal kid, except that everybody thought that Jesus was
a bastard child.
So Jesus grew up his entire life in the sticks, in the trailer park family, with his mom, the harlot, and his dad, the idiot. A bastard, a child born out of wedlock. What he lived with his whole life. It's what everybody thought growing up. Except for his crazy aunt or cousin Elizabeth. You know? Spent his entire life in utter obscurity, out in the sticks. Everybody thought he was the bastard child of Mary and Joseph. At the age of 30, come on, tell me what he did.
Kind of a late bloomer.
A late bloomer?
Right, because, like, he
didn't start his ministry until he was 30. Yeah, Mary?
Well, no, I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead. Probably, but you know what? Scripture is silent about his childhood for a reason. Yeah. There's definitely something very weird about Mary and Joseph and Jesus, right? Would it have been weird to have to raise a perfect, sinless child? What?
Yeah, we do get a little bit when he's in.
Yeah, well, the one glimpse we get is when Jesus is a boy in the temple, right? And he's teaching the elders. What did you say?
12
At 12 years old, that's right. And Mary's angry with him. You know? And who knows what it was like? It would have been remarkably challenging. Let me tell you. You're not parents, but my goodness.
But still tempted in the same ways that we were all.
Yet Jesus is tempted and was tempted in all the same ways as we are, yet without sin. He had brothers and sisters. He had playmates. Yeah, that's one way to think about brothers and sisters. How many of you grew up with brothers and sisters? How many of you have, in just thinking about the fact that Jesus grew up with many brothers and sisters, have more respect for the thought of Jesus being sinless? He wasn't an only child.
And then who knows how old he was when he started knowing that he was going to die for everybody's sins.
Yeah, who knows anything like that? Let's not even talk about that. Yeah, Nisha. Right. Doesn't care. It would have.
Yeah.
Right. So Nisha said the stigma of having been born out of wedlock would have carried with Jesus in a way, his whole life, in a way that we can't comprehend because we live in such a decadent, you know, maybe some of you were born out of wedlock. We'd never know it and we'd never care. Right? I don't know if some of you are or not. Who knows? But it mattered immensely to them. And for good reason. So that would have been shame that Jesus would have carried his entire life in a way that we can't comprehend. Is that all the shame that Jesus dealt with his entire life? Okay. So tell me the shame of Jesus. Tell me the shame that Jesus dealt with his entire life. Tell me. What kind of things did he endure?
Accusations of being demon-possessed.
Accusations of being demon-possessed. Associated with drunkards and sinners.
Hated and mocked.
Spat on. Beaten. His best friends were fishermen. And idiots and tax collectors. Called a blasphemer. Mocked. Ridiculed. Did I mention spat on? I mean, that's a big deal. The very first time he preached, they tried to kill him. That was his entire life. The very first time he preached, they drug him to the edge of a cliff and tried to throw him off. He was deserted by his very best friends. His own family was ashamed of him. So even Sweet Mary... So you've got Mary, and not only does she have this reputation because of what happened with this kid, but then this kid is her son. This guy who's making this huge stink in all of Israel. It's her son. She has to embrace him. She's embarrassed to. We see it in Scripture. Little family. This is Jesus' life, and then he's led to the slaughter, executed on a cross. The most humiliating death, naked, strung up for everybody to see. The most humiliating and painful kind of death imaginable. Now put Jesus' humiliation into context for me.
With God from the very beginning, and he knew all the riches that there could ever be.
What do you mean he was with God from the very beginning? He is God. He is God. The world that we live in was made through him. He is the Word by which all things were made. He formed the mouths of men to praise him. Those same mouths that he formed to praise him are the mouths that spat on him and heaped scorn and ridicule upon him. He made the womb that he went into himself and lived in for 9 months. He was born Nothing is more humiliating. You're not. I have four kids. It's something special. Amazing. And awful. He put the stars in the sky. He holds it all together. And he didn't despise Mary's womb. He didn't despise being born. He didn't despise dirty diapers. He didn't despise... Think about that. He didn't despise a trough, a feeding trough. This is God. He didn't despise the cave, which is likely what the stable was. Cave. The animals. He didn't despise the hick town. He didn't despise little poor Mary. He didn't despise stupid carpenter work with his hands, Joseph. He didn't despise the fishermen. He didn't despise the tax collectors and the sinners. He didn't despise the harlots and the prostitutes. He embraced all of it. Every last part of it. Every ounce of the shame of this world. He embraced it. He embraces you and your shame. No one is higher than Jesus. God Almighty. The mountains tremble. The earth shakes. The seas give up their dead. Angels cover their faces. The birds sing to him. The squirrels hide nuts and find them for him. The seeds put down roots and raise up from the ground and grow into trees, stretching to the heavens for him. The earth spins for him. At the bottom of the sea, there are creatures you've never seen, never dreamed of, never imagined, that live for him and he sees them. There are planets billions of miles away. We haven't even dreamed of them. They all exist for him. No one is higher than Jesus. No one is lower than Jesus. Born of a woman. Born under the law. Born not in a palace, but in a cave. Lived his whole life in utter obscurity, embracing all of the shame. Embracing all of your shame, all of your guilt. Every last bit of it on himself. Took it on himself. Embraced the cross with joy, despising the shame. And yet, what's the one thing that you are of Jesus? The thing that's most true of you is that you're ashamed of him. That you're afraid to be associated with him. He wasn't afraid of you. He wasn't afraid of your sin. He's not ashamed of you. He's God. He stoops down to you even now in your unbelief, in your sin, in your rebellion, in your shame. He likens you to a little baby born and cast off by her mother, wallowing by the side of the road in your own blood. And he likens himself to a man that comes along, picks you up, cleans you off, dresses you in the finest clothes, feeds you, nourishes you, cares for you. And yet, we all of us have the audacity to be ashamed of him. To turn to other lovers. This is Ezekiel 16, right? 16, I think. 7, 16, I think. Yeah. This is the beauty and glory of Christmas. God Almighty stooping down to you, wretched, deserving of nothing but wrath and hell. Liberating you from bondage to sin and fear and doubt and unbelief. Liberating you from all of the condemnation and all of the power of sin. So that you can be free to live for him. And the first call of the Christian is what? Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. This is what God called Mary to. Take up your cross and follow me. Whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospels will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. He's saying, I embraced all of it for you. Don't you dare be ashamed of me. Among this wicked and adulterous generation, who are they? What is the world? What is it? What are those people out there? Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Don't be afraid of them. I have overcome the world. Mary, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The little baby in your womb is the work of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid. This is how God will redeem the world. Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary for your wife. Don't be afraid. This is your salvation. This is your greatest joy and your greatest privilege. You were chosen. Considered worthy of the task of being utterly humiliated for my sake. Christian, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I have overcome the world. What are they? What are they? Come to me. Come to me. Come to me. I have and I will bear all of your shame, all of your guilt. Come to me. This is the message, the hope of Christmas. It's the most freeing and liberating message in the world. And some of you are doubtful and afraid. You're afraid to come and embrace Christ. And you shouldn't be. He's the most approachable, sweet, welcoming person in all of the world. He's as low as they get. So, this break, when you go home, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to confess Christ. Don't be ashamed. When you go to your families, when you go to your friends back home, don't be afraid. Confess Christ to your family. Confess Christ to your friends. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Be faithful. Have faith. Remember Christ, who is humbled to the point of death, even death on a cross, who humbled himself for your sake. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending Christ to us. Thank you, Father, for demonstrating your love to us, that while we were still sinners, while we were still your enemies, your Son, Jesus Christ, died for us. And that your giving of your Son is such a promise, holds forth so much hope for us. You've not withheld your Son from us. How dare we not trust your loving kindness towards us and your tenderness? Father, give us faith to come to you and to rest in you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.